I want to start tonight with a Bible passage, though, because obviously of the topical nature of the series I'm starting, we won't be staying in that, but I thought it was an appropriate place to just begin. And tonight I want to introduce the subject more than anything, but the Bible passage I want to read is Matthew chapter 16, and I'll read from verse 1 down to verse 19. Matthew 16, 1 to 19. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. They reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets he took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets he took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. May the Lord bless reading of this portion of his holy and inspired word. As I said, I chose this as a kind of an opening passage for the opening message on what I plan to be a series on the home. And the reason I selected this to start with is because it deals with another area, which is God's plan for the church, specifically his plan for this New Testament age. And the reason I kind of use this as an introductory passage is because it relates to considerations that will arise later in the course of the study. And that is, of course, that the right plan for the home must dovetail with the plan God has revealed for the church. Here in the context of chapter 16, in the opening verses, Jesus makes it very clear that God had a new work in mind, that this was a very significant thing that was happening in the earth by the coming of the Messiah. And he told them that they were hypocrites because they could see the signs in the sky and discern those things and tell what the weather was going to be the next day. But the signs that were accompanying him and his coming and his ministry had a much greater significance as to who he was and what he was going to do, and they would not consider these signs, and therefore they were willfully blinding themselves to these facts and wouldn't listen to it. A little bit farther on in verse 13, down as far as verse 18, we see the significance here again of God has a plan. It says, When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some of them say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in verse 17, 18, and 19, there are some very significant statements made. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not delivered it unto thee, not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And in verse 18 especially, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here he's saying, you've been seeing some marvelous demonstrations, God's of signs, things that reveal my messianic character. And I've been telling you of a work God is doing, and he announces there, I will build my church. And he says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And also in verse 19, it says, and I will give thee unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I take these verses having a dispensational impact to them. And the reason for starting this and emphasizing this at the beginning, that God had a definite plan for this age. And we've been privileged as being taught under dispensational frameworks to know something of what this plan is. And there are some things that, as we understand what the plan is, it allows us to look at other things and say, these things must fit in here and there, because the mandate of this age, in a particular sense, is the apostles' doctrine. And the person who is a believer in God is somebody who will respond in faith to the apostles' doctrine. Now, I struggled with a sense of structure that I might use for this. I generally preach textually and use either an expository sort of framework or maybe a more of a homiletic one in certain cases, but generally out of the scripture itself there suggests itself to me clear outlines. This here is a study that's going to go more than one message, and the specifics of it tend to interrelate. In other words, as I talk about this theme, about what the Bible teaches and how these teachings that we're being exposed to relate to it, you're going to find that the teachings tend to interrelate to each other. There's a reason why certain groups believe this and why they believe this. There's a connection behind that. I came to know very early in my ministry that there is a reason behind everything that happens. In the physical world, scientists believe this, and they try to understand the laws that are making things happen. In the Lord's work, it's the same thing. People act the way they act for a reason. Theological positions are arrived at for a reason. Another thing I observed early in my ministry, especially in reading theology books and commentaries, that when I found a particular writer who perhaps had many good things to say, when he believed something that appeared to be unbiblical, you tended to find that it wasn't just an isolated thing, but that I could perhaps compare it better to a crack that goes all through a system of theology. And that to err in one area requires some give in other areas to make allowance for that flaw that tends to go right through. And I noticed that, as I said, in theology books. And as I consider some of the issues here, some of the things that I believe to be flaws are connected to other flaws, and there's a reason for it. So in a way, it's difficult to isolate the individual things. And it's difficult to form a framework, but I plan to do it nevertheless. And what I want to do in the days ahead are look at specific areas of doctrine, focus down on them, give the biblical teaching on it, analyze and consider what we're being taught, and show it that way. But what I want to do this evening is more or less just kind of give an overview, kind of just explain what I'm going to be doing in the weeks ahead, try and give a bit of an introduction to the study and to the main issues that will occur there. So it's going down a little bit of a unfamiliar territory and approach. So we're going to stop and ask the Lord to bless in our study tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you've given us your word. We thank you, Father, that it is through that word that we find deliverance. It is through that word that we have guidance to know how to respond to things that are out there, to know how to respond to be kept from deception, to be kept from the deceivings even of our own hearts, Father. And we just pray that as we study this issue, that you would guide, lead us into truth, help us to have hearts that are open, that where they need to be corrected, they would be corrected. And where, Father, we need encouragement and strengthening in positions that we maybe already hold, that this will take place as well. And we pray, Father, that you use this study that we want to embark on tonight for the strengthening of the church and for the well-being of God's people. Help us to be those which live by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, and help us to be people that are instruments that are available at your hand for the work you have for us to do in these last days that we live in. So guide us, I pray. Pray that the Spirit of God will add his blessing to the meeting tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the opening theme is evidently, again, very broad, but this is the basis for these ministries that have come into existence, and it helps us to understand how it all fits in. My opening topic is the world today. And as I've mentioned many times, this is a series on the home. And the home today is like many other institutions, whether they're directly ordained of God or whether they're sort of handmaiden-type institutions, and of society itself as a whole, and that is that homes are in a mess. And so it does behoove us, and we have had a number of series in our church here over the time of my ministry on the home, and I can look back through my notes and find ones that I've directed along those lines. So it is an area that needs to be addressed. There are teachings about the home that need to be addressed. And the Bible teaches us, and we see it taking place round about us, that there will be, and we can say today there is, a worldwide departure from God taking place. We need to know that. A lot of the New Testament was written to show us what would happen. I think of books like 2 Peter, like 2 Timothy, Jude, the epistles of John, the Revelation. They talk about a departure in the last days of the church age. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And as a result of this, the Bible is being rejected by the world at large. And because the Bible is being rejected, the blueprint that God has ordained for these institutions, and the home, the family, is a biblical institution, is the home is being left adrift and is hurting a great deal because the security of God's blueprint is being abandoned. And the institutions no longer either fulfill the roles that are assigned to them in Scripture. The home has a definite, distinct place. And through failure on man's part in many ways, even on the believing side of people, even among Christians, there has been a failure for the home to fill the role it has, and the individuals and parts of the home to carry out the role God intended for them within the home. And there is a tendency no longer for the teachings of the Bible to be embraced and to be held as authoritative. Now, the main, in the course of this apostasy that I know personally I've heard preached on from the time I was a child, and which I have seen develop and get to runaway roller coaster status in the last few years, which I believe leads us to understand that we're getting very close to the end. But the main arena for this conflict over the years has been the house of God. It has been within the churches as the various schools of thought and the various belief systems have been represented in church doctrine and in church position, and it's been within the ecclesiastical realm that the battles have been fought. And I think it's right to say that truth has been championed by the fundamentalist movement. There are things within fundamentalism as a movement today that I have concerns about, but on the other hand, looking back over the past, I suppose we could say, 100 years or so, the fundamentalist movement, with its, first of all, fundamentalist churches and other fundamentalist institutions, has been championing the truth and has been a means of giving deliverance to God's people. God has raised up and strengthened a testimony for himself by way of the fundamentalist and separatist movement. Now, in more recent times than this, and it's always been true, I think that God has, for specific purposes, raised up testimonies to his truth besides the church. And I believe that God has raised up distinct testimonies against various areas of apostasy to a greater or lesser degree connected to the fundamentalist movement and the churches in it. Let me illustrate this. We have today still a creation science movement. When I was young, you didn't hear anything about creation science. Evolution was taught then, as it's still taught today, but there has been a movement raised up, and I believe the hand of God is the only explanation for it. I know that my own children were benefited greatly growing up by having the videos of the conference seminars of Kent Hovind. It was a benefit to them. He exposed, with a fair bit of style, the errors of evolution. I believe a whole generation of young people have benefited from it as they've gone off maybe to post-secondary education or into the world. And through his ministry, they've been, to a large extent, fortified against being deceived by teachings of evolution. And I can just imagine a young person that sat down, as ours did, and watched those videos over and over again, getting to a university situation, having a professor speak, you know, positively about evolution, I can just imagine in that person's mind thinking back to the way that Ken Hogan has done a good job, like Elijah the prophet, of mocking the prophets of Baal, and thinking what a loser this guy is for thinking such foolishness. So the creation science movement, there have been other specific causes, ministries that I think have done good, done well, whatever the right word is there, such as in the cause of Israel. Movements like the Friends of Israel. I don't necessarily agree with all their stands on everything they stand on. However, it's been a movement that I don't doubt that the Lord has used to bring a certain amount of deliverance and preservation to the nation of Israel in these days. And that's a good movement in itself. But the one I'm thinking of specifically in the course of this study is the home movement. That is, there has been a movement raised up that has given thought to the home itself. And this began, and I think the primary side of this has been the home school movement. Homeschooling has come to the eyes and to the consciousness of Christians within the last 30 years or so, I suppose. 25 years, I suppose. And there's always been a few doing it, but it has become a movement. There has been a fairly large movement within the people of God towards homeschooling. My own home, as you know, has taken part in this. We've had 5 children. We educated them all from kindergarten up. So that's 13 years. So in effect, we've had 65 years of schooling in our home. I think sometimes of how much I saved the government by their own figures. They figure it cost them $7,000 or $8,000 a student, or they used to. Maybe it's 10 now. Look at how much money the government owes me. Over $500,000. And I think it's been a good thing. I think that homeschooling has been a help. It's been a last day movement that's been used to help Christians. There have been fine Christians that haven't been in the homeschool movement, and there have been people in the homeschool movement that have been real winners too. But nevertheless, as a whole, it's been a good thing. I was listening recently, well, I guess it was a friend of mine, it was Dave Vogt, I think it was, who said that he was at a leadership convention of some sort in the U.S., I suppose, among fundamentalists, and there was a speaker there, and I believe it was Bob Jones, the whatever he is now, third or fourth or fifth, whatever he is, and he was saying that in regard to their university, that something like 40% of the students at the university there coming from a homeschool background, and that they tend to be the ones that are the leaders in every way, including spiritually. So God has added a certain amount of blessing and put a stamp upon that. In connection with the homeschool movement, that is families homeschooling their children, there have been certain institutions and bodies that have been a part of that. One of them is HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association. This was a group of people whose purpose was to offer legal help to families that were facing opposition by the socialist government units that are out there. And there have been, of course, curriculum providers. Various Bible schools and various other schools have provided homeschool curriculum. I'm just trying to give you an idea of some of the engines that have been part of this homeschool movement. There have been conferences. There still are all these things. And these all had a certain presence in the movement. There have been various networks. There have been various popular books and spokespeople. Various schools of thought, some fads for sure, various philosophies, and a fair bit of diversity. So I say that just to give you a bit of an idea of what's out there, and this is the setting, both for the series, both for this teaching of this in regard to the home, and also in regard to this specific ministry. And this is what I want to direct your attention to next. I have decided, at least for the beginning of this series, to speak in connection with one of these home ministries, and that is Vision Forum. So over the years of people once more giving thought about the home and the place for it and what the Bible teaches about it, some of the various influences, ministries, personalities, and businesses, I suppose, have apparently found some common beliefs, and it gave rise to a certain consensus, so that there is within the larger homeschool movement a certain school of thought. And this school of thought has an identifiable, I don't know what to call it, except an agency that promotes its beliefs. And this is Vision Forum. You can find it online if you wonder about it. They have a website. I have downloaded, actually for the purpose of this, something I can use in my study of them. In my understanding, I have downloaded several pages of their beliefs, and it came under the name of Vision Forum Ministries. They have a wide acceptance. They have a wide acceptance, at least among certain aspects of the homeschool community. But something that we need to understand, why we're considering the teachings that they have, is that they have gone beyond the matters of home education in the older sense of the term. When I began homeschooling, homeschooling was a movement whereby families, instead of sending their children off to the public schools for various concerns, sometimes for their physical health, some of the violence that take place, most often because of their belief structure that they felt was being, they were being brainwashed with in the public schools. And so the homeschooling was about that, homeschooling. But Vision Forum has gone beyond homeschooling and has taken up many other different areas of teaching, including home life in general. So they speak about the home beyond schooling. They also speak about the order, and they also speak now about the church. And they have a body of doctrines in regard to the place and ideal structure of a church. They talk about the state. They deal with a number of various Bible doctrines. They publish numerous books, and I've read some of them. They must have their own publishing house, because it's right on the book, Vision Forum. And these various books on the kinds of subjects that I mentioned regarding the home, regarding the order of the home, they publish CDs, as well as a large collection of home paraphernalia, which you can find on their website, including things like toys. Now, a lot of these things seem to be good to me. If you want to have your children play with toys instead of having your boys playing with Barbie dolls, if you want to have them playing with slingshots and you have your girls playing with Barbie dolls, well, they'll provide you those sort of gender-oriented toys if you have a conviction about that, and I think it's probably a good thing to have a conviction about that. They are teaching boys to be boys and girls to be girls. And I don't know what else they have. They have a fairly large website. They have a fairly large body of products that they sell. Doug Phillips is the name that is primarily associated with this. I looked on their website yesterday just to be sure what his relationship was, and he is the president, apparently, of Vision Forums. Vision Forum. I want you to note carefully, and the reason I wanted to introduce this tonight this way, I wanted you to note carefully the title I have here for my series, and that is The Home, What to Take and What to Leave from the Vision Forum Genre. The Home, What to Take and What to Leave from the Vision Forum Genre. I didn't say, didn't stop it at Vision Forum. Notice the word genre. And it may be that as I deal with specific areas of teaching that I've come across, that Mr. Phillips and even Vision Forum, they may not personally embrace every jot and tittle of the books that they publish. I don't know. But they publish books, obviously, with a reason behind them. And so when I say genre, I'll say here's the main presence, here's the main agency, publishing and promoting these ideas. I'm not saying necessarily that Mr. Phillips believes every one of these things the way I've seen them presented, but evidently there is some sort of acceptance within that genre, within that group of people that buy into it. It's not a structured denomination so that you can go to denominational headquarters and find a doctrinal statement specifically, although they do have something of a doctrinal statement. But it is nevertheless a movement, and it has certain fixtures associated with it, and Vision Forum is one of those fixtures. And it's by looking at them and what they believe and what they teach and what they produce that it helps us understand the influence of this movement upon people today. And I've taken up, and this is, as you know, not my normal style of ministry. I would be more likely starting a new series after finishing the book of Exodus, as I just did, like, welcome to the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, verses 1 to whatever. And we may go there sometime. But I think, well, the reason that I'm taking it up is because this ministry, I'm observing, has an influence on God's people, including my church, speaking as a pastor. And therefore, I have a responsibility to deal with teachings that are influencing the people of God, and especially the ones that are under my pastoral care. Let me read you some verses from the book of Titus that speak of this responsibility. Titus, like Timothy, gave a list of qualifications and duties of an elder or a pastor. And in Titus chapter 1, first of all, in verse 5, Paul is writing to Titus, and he's saying, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." So Titus operated as a kind of an apostolic appointee. He was on Paul's missionary team. Where Paul couldn't be, he sent out men like Timothy and Titus to do the work in his absence, and he sent them books for guidance. One of the things he said you need to do in these preaching stations is to put in order a proper New Testament church, set in order the things that are wanting, and that includes an authority structure, that is to say, elders. And so it says, ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. When he gets down to verse 9, after giving, first in the intervening verses, a number of qualifications, he says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. In other words, this is the job of a pastor, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. In other words, why am I speaking on these subjects? It's because it's my job. And I have a biblical authority to deal with those things. There's another verse. We'll just pass over quickly. And so, again, notice something else from my title. And I emphasize, first of all, what to take. And there are some things to embrace in the teachings that have come out of the Vision Forum genre. This will come out in the course of our series ahead in the specifics that are dealt with. But let me just say at this point that there is a reason why such ministries as these come into place. And the reason is because of a failure somewhere in the existing program. Because people are looking and saying things are not going well in families, therefore people look into the Bible, they try to find the answers, and they raise up ministries. So with that as a backdrop, we would expect that they would find some things in the Bible that are perhaps truths that need to be re-emphasized. And I believe that's the case. I believe there are things in the teaching of the Vision Forum genre which are things that we should take. There have been such widespread failures in homes that a need has arisen. It's just like if you were... I like to watch a few of the playoff games in the NHL. I basically don't watch it much during the season. Probably don't see a game, but this time of year I take a little bit of interest from my old interest I used to have of watching hockey. I don't know who the players are anymore, but after I watch a few games, I get to recognize a few of the names, and I watch games sometimes. And I look. There was one on the other night, and you have the two same teams. And one team will go out, and they'll play like crazy. And they'll walk all over the other team. And then the other team will come along afterwards, maybe get an advantage, and the tables will turn. A team will get a score. It happened one night. A team will get a score shorthanded. That's not supposed to happen. Well, all of a sudden, there's a tremendous inertia behind that team that scored shorthands, and they'll put in goal after goal. Why is that? Because a lot of it is in the psychology of the game. And sometimes things will happen, they just keep failing over and over, and that has to do with the organization of the game. A coach is not getting what's going wrong. And so in my opinion, a lot of these things that happen, even though, you know, we respect the athlete's abilities, a lot of the things that happen in those hockey games is a leadership issue. somebody is not either motivating the people or is not discerning a basic flaw in their defense structure or their offense, and he's failing. And if you would get that one point dealt with, the team would win. And it's like that in spiritual things. The devil likes to come along and put twists on things and subtly get people away from the plan of God. Because people are not giving thought to it. They get distracted with other things. They're not searching the scripture carefully. They're not concerned about what should be done here. And sometimes it doesn't take very much to get people off the track. And a lot of problems can come in. So as we think about the homes and the condition they're in today, we should be open enough that even if we come across something that isn't what we've believed or thought was a big issue before, if we search it out and it's biblical, we should be prepared to change our thinking where it's required. And you know, home teaching is a part of the church's mandate. The church, when Paul taught his disciples, when he went out as a missionary, planted churches, he taught them the whole counsel of God. And that includes the Bible's teaching in regard to homes. And so the church has been historically recognized as a institution, if you want to call it that, or a plan of God, in which teaching would come down and help people in regard to all parts of their life of discipleship, including the home. And I think it's been true that while the fundamentalist movement has been a source of great good, as they've challenged over the decades liberalism, new evangelicalism, charismatic movement, that there have been at times when they have failed in regard to home teaching. It's not there's anything fundamentally wrong with the church taking its place. It's just simply the churches have failed in some of those areas. And fundamentalist doctrine on the one side has been joined to worldliness, which has all been allowed to come into the home. And it's been a bad thing. It's caused difficulties. And worldliness has come into the home because of a simple, sometimes getting blindsided. It happens. It happens in homes. People get blindsided. Parents don't see issues that are coming that weren't there when they were young or that they escaped. And all of a sudden the problem's there in their home because they got blindsided. They didn't see what was coming. Well, if a ministry like Vision Forum can identify some of these things and keep us from being blindsided and bring preservation to our homes, let's have open ears to listen to it. And the church needs to repent in some of these areas, these that are distinct. And it can. I believe that the church can continue to maintain its New Testament role in dealing with these things. So let's listen to what we need to listen to. I also need to emphasize the second part of my title, things to take, and the second part are things to leave from Vision Forum genre. And as I've been first exposed to the Vision Forum, and I've heard a few of their things, their teachings, I've read some of their statements of faith, I've read a few of their books, and I don't claim to be an expert on them, and I can only go by what I've been exposed to, I have nevertheless become convinced that there are also some things to leave which are just as bad as the good things are good. Tom LeVere, it reminded me of the little poem. It used to nursery rhyme or whatever it was. I knew a little girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. And when she was bad, she was horrid. False doctrine, even though it comes in connection with good things, must be recognized by the people of God, or you will get things carried in along with something good. You will get things that are evil carried in and will ultimately bear bitter fruit. It will bear bitter fruit. And I think there are some things of this nature. In other words, I believe personally that there is a great danger in taking the whole Vision Forum package without question, simply because of some of the things that are on the cover. My next heading is a bird's eye view. And by this, I just want to introduce the basic positive and negative side of the Vision Forum ministry. First of all, being a positive person by nature, what is positive? What is good in the Vision Forum? How does the Vision Forum genre tend to be strong? And I believe I could summarize this by saying in practical matters and matters of standards for the Christian home. They have some very good material in regard to things that are practical in regards to standards for Christian homes. And I think that we need to be sharpened up in these things. That's why the whole homeschool movement came into place, because people began to be alarmed and saying, just a minute, the society, the culture is going this way, and it's having a great influence on my children this way. But as a Christian, must it not be that I must withstand this? And I know some pastors to this day who are against the whole homeschool movement, and you've heard probably some of them preach. And they'll go in the pulpit and they'll say what a terrible departure it is to homeschool your children. Well, I'm not somebody that looks down on somebody else who didn't homeschool. I believe God to lead people, but there's certainly not something essentially wrong with homeschooling. And I think it has had some positive benefits. And it's because people have recognized that their children are their responsibility and are being influenced in a bad way by things that are in the public school movement. In other words, it has become obvious to some people that sin and Satan have had an open door into the homes of Christians that have been a bit sleepy in certain areas and have carried off the little ones and carried off the young people while Christians have slept and not given thought to these areas. So there are some positive things. So when Vision Forum argues for things such as parental authority, when it argues for things such as responsible masculine young men, for modest feminine young ladies, for motherhood instead of daycarehood, for Bible teaching at home, for strong family ties, then we shout, amen. We say, the Bible teaches this. This is what we believe. This is what we want to have encouragement in for our home, to think along these ways ourselves. And those things are all important. And I admit that I've come across that teaching. The Bible does teach there should be strong parental authority. I believe that God has, it's the essence of God's first authority structure. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thy days may be long in the land. And then all the rest of the authority structure on earth is based on strength there. And when the family breaks down to the authority structure, that whole authority structure of society breaks down. It's vital. And again, having biblical roles taught to children and to young people, that men were made to be masculine, that women were meant to be responsible rather than just loving pleasure. Do you ever notice in the book of Titus, in the opening, in chapter 2, in the setting there of Crete, where people were all pleasure lovers, every group in the church, he said, teach them to be sober, teach them to be sober, teach them to be sober. And we have a day and age when young people are being taught to be pleasure lovers, lovers of fun, to live for themselves, to do what feels good, and not to have a sober thought in their little heads. And that needs to be opposed within Christian teaching. And modest feminine young ladies, we live in a world when young girls are taught from the time they're born to dress and look like and act like tarts. And the Bible teaches modest feminine young ladies. Motherhood instead of daycarehood, the Bible teaches that. God has got the home is God's plan. He planned it. So can we just say, well, that's not how we do things as Canadians, and expect God to bless us? No. It's an order. Strong family ties, all these things, we shout amen. On the other side, and we'll close with some of these things, the following are some areas of identifiable weakness and error. And the weakness, or the negative side of it, or the erring side of it, we can divide up just briefly, again, this is just some quick thoughts on my part, into two sides. Number one, imbalance. The Vision Forum movement has been characterized by imbalance. And like many reactionary movements, there's a strong tendency for the pendulum to swing past, what's the word they use for it in the auto industry? Top dead center, is it? When you have the cylinder right at the top. They have swung past a proper, balanced, biblical position and have swung to the other way. And they have swung into some opposite errors in opposing problems that have come in regard to the home. And people need to see it. And this is not just sort of self-defense, and as if I'm there trying to defend the status quo within fundamentalism, because there have been failures. And one of the things I've always believed in my ministry is to humbly acknowledge things that need to be addressed, no matter what form it comes in, no matter how it affects me or somebody else. The Bible teaches it. We need to give thought to reintroducing a biblical pattern, because that's the only thing that can be blessed. And when this ministry swings past center and goes the other way to an extreme, there are problems associated with it. In other words, let me explain it this way. In the thinking of many of involved in this movement, the home has been taken from her diminished role. So in society today, the role of the home has been diminished. And they recognize that, and so they've taken the home from its diminished role, and they've given it an exaggerated role. They have brought into the home areas of responsibility and all kinds of things that are not primarily given to the home. And I see this over and over. It affects the thinking of this movement and affects it in regard to the other basic parts of God's plan. And that's why I started with the passage in Matthew, because it affects their thinking in regard to the church. This will be a major consideration in the study in the days ahead. What about the church and the home with respect to their teachings? Can we function as a New Testament church if we embrace all the teachings of Vision Forum? I believe it's a problem. In other words, they have invented a new paradigm. We live in a day when all kinds of things are encroaching in the biblical roles. The home is a certain place. The state wants to encroach into the home. The state wants to tell the home what it can teach its children, what it cannot. The state wants to encroach many times even into churches. There's an encroachment. It can also happen that the homeschool movement can seek to encroach into these other areas, such as the church, and come up with a new, well, the terminology that they use for this worldview, you know, the thinking of where how things fit together, or if you like, paradigm or model. There's a certain model for the church that we find in the scriptures, and when we see something that overturns that paradigm so that the thinking about how things fit together is changed, look out. This is a fundamental problem. Whenever I see people changing from the biblical model of things and biblical thinking, I think somebody's got a motive and something bad's going to happen. And that's a problem. Or the individual or society at large. In other words, in this regard, their imbalance, this whole movement could be compared, or this ministry or whatever you want to call it, could be compared to something that's happened in the Bible version debate. They are to home teachings, in some respects at least, what Peter Ruckman is to the Bible version issue. They haven't helped it by going too far. They haven't helped it when they've gone too far. And I'm saying these things obviously off the cuff, but I intend to try to demonstrate it by quotes and by showing things to you in the weeks ahead that in some areas they have not helped the case of the home because they pulled the Peter Ruckman on us. And we need to be discerning and watch for these things. The Bible tells us to be watchful. The Bible tells us that, well, it doesn't have that exact quote, but the principle is there, that the price of security is eternal watchfulness, isn't it? The second area, besides imbalance, and you know as well as I do that that's something that I put a lot of ministry into, this matter of imbalance. I think a lot of problems come in through imbalance. The second one is just plain faulty theology. They have faulty theology. And I will give you some quotes from their own statements and compare them to good Bible teaching and show that they have some problems. So that if you take the whole package of the Vision Forum genre and you don't spit the bones out, and they've got some nasty bones that will get caught in your throat and cause some real problems, if you don't spit those things out or refuse them, you're going to pay down the road. And the church that just embraces the things thoughtlessly, and there are whole churches now that are embracing this and are becoming churches that are built around these new ideas. Oh, there's going to be a price to pay. I'm old enough to have seen a number of things come and go in church movements over my life, and a lot of them look good on the surface. But if they're not biblical, down the road, sooner or later, there is a big price to pay. Let me list, and again, these are just a bit of an arbitrary list off the top of my head, more or less, or with reference to my notes. Faulty theology. Number one, the definition of a church. Their very definition of a church involves faulty doctrine. So their doctrine of a church has problems. Secondly, they have what's called dominion theology. I don't want to get into that a lot tonight, but I'll notice it. They haven't invented it. They've borrowed it from other thinkers in the past, and you'll find references to these other thinkers in their writings. Dominion theology, it's something you can keep in mind. It has to do with their concept of the ministry, the purpose of the church in the age today, and how the age is going to end. And in connection with that, what appears to be, from what I can see in their writings, covenant theology as well, which is a different approach to interpretation than dispensationalism. And so therefore, as a result of that, they have problems in their prophecy. Some of these things aren't going to be obvious, but if you search out some of their related links and so on, and some of their people in the movement, you'll find their theology, their prophecy is not pre-millennial, pre-tribulation. Like we have. And that is a serious problem. It colors their whole view about what's going on in the world today and how they should relate to it. A person who is a premillennial, pre-tribulation dispensationalist will say, these are bad things happening in the world today. This one world movement is the fulfilling of the old Babylonish order that the Bible warns us about and that will take over during the tribulation. And we don't want any part of it. We don't want to be one worlders. But I'm not so sure that these people will be able to be kept by those same thoughts as time goes on and they try to have once more Christian dominion over this world, dominion theology, and their prophecy. Also, in part of their problems, theologically, they have some Calvinism problems, and I'm a little careful about using that word because it means so many things to so many people. You can only understand it as I explain it in the course of later messages. They have a problem with separation. One of the things that I've observed a long time ago in the homeschool movement is that when you substitute a local church-based thinking for the house of God, which has all the blueprint for how to run a church, tells you what to do, tells you what to believe, it's all there in the Bible. The wise master builder, the Apostle Paul, gave us his handbook. When you depart from that, it includes separation. It includes church discipline. When you replace that paradigm with a home, how do you practice separation? How do you preserve the truth? These people have not thought these things through. And they come, many of them, from a different school of thought than I have, because I believe in separatism. Separation, Calvinism problems, the Reformed theology, and just general doctrinal weaknesses and lack of distinctiveness. If you look at their theological statements, they are rather brief and indistinctive, so that they create, under the overall overarching ideal of having these nice homes, they create a movement which can shelter people of all kinds, apparently, of varying beliefs in other areas because they're not very distinctive in their doctrinal statements. That's just a bit of a bird's eye view and just a bit of a taste of this movement. And when I guess it's my nature, when I see something that's wrong, I tend to be very strongly against it. But when I see something is right, I try to be balanced also and say just as well. So if you take the attitude, I don't want anything to do with Vision Forum or what they teach, they're all crazy because you've observed some of their problems and you miss what they have that's good, then it'll be, you know, it will be to your loss. If, on the other hand, you say, great, good homes, I take it all, and you enter into it, you're going to have problems there. So I emphasize that this study has to take this form, what to take and what to leave from the Vision Forum genre. And I trust that in the weeks ahead that we will have, as a result of this study, a body of teaching that those that have the heart and interest and are willing to have challenged their beliefs can look into it. And if people haven't the willingness to challenge their beliefs and look into what the Bible has to say about it, then it's too late for them already. They're going to have a bitter fruit down the road. We have to always be open to what the Bible teaches. And if I say something that you don't agree with, here's the book. You come and take it to me. And I've always had the attitude, when I go to somebody with a Bible in my hand to challenge something they believe, and they won't hear me, I have no more regard for them. I don't take them seriously because this is the authority. And you can do the same with me. If you come to me with a Bible in your hand and I won't listen to you, I say, I don't hear it. Then you can say, well, it's hard for me to take you seriously. You're preaching the Bible and you won't listen to it. So as I go through this series, feel free to come to me with a Bible if you disagree with me and show me in the Bible why I'm wrong. But by the same token, if I'm analyzing this movement with a Bible in my hand, then anybody that expects to be accepted as a sincere Bible believer has to also say, well, that's God's word. That's true. So we'll stop at that tonight, and I don't know, like I said, it's been a little different approach to a message than normally, but I wanted to kind of set the stage, kind of prepare a setting for us, so as we look at the things ahead, we'll have these sort of guiding principles in our minds.